You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, good evening, good evening. Welcome back. Another great Monday evening. We have an 8 to 9:30 show. We have a beautiful show for you tonight. We're going to have Mr. Stevens, we have Julian Stevens going to be on. We're going to have a conversation a little bit about the state of the ACC, the state of college baseball. He's also a dad of Juju Stevens, who's playing for some Missouri Tigers baseball. We're going to have Mr. Perkins going to come on a little bit later. Kenny Perkins own an indoor facility that does basketball and baseball. Real fan of sports, period, and we're going to have a conversation with him this evening. We're hoping also to have Mr. Gregory Bryant. We talk a little bit about HBCU and see, we talk a little bit about how he feels and what he sees and where he sees HBCU going. He's actually at Prairie View A&M. We're going to ask him some questions about himself, about the school, and we want to also ask him, he's also a dad of a 14-year-old kid who is being overwhelmed right now with so many different people and different colleges and even pro teams are coming at him to have conversations with him. So we're going to try to break it down for him and have everything going. Before we start, let you know that the second round of the NBA is on the go. Right now, the New York Knicks is up 21-15 on Indiana Pacers. We're going to give you a little bit before we start. I'm going to round up a little bit of the Major League Baseball scores. We're going to start with yesterday's finals, then we're going to go into today's game. Yesterday's finals, the Blue Jays 8, Nationals 11. Blue Jays lost to the Nationals. The Rockies lost to Pittsburgh yesterday 5-3. The Yankees 5-2 over the Tigers. Then we had the Mets fell to the Tampa Bay Rays. The Angels lost to Cleveland. Rangers beat Royals. Mariners take on the Astros and beat the Astros by 1-5-4. The Red Sox had a great day yesterday. They actually went 9-2 against the Twins. White Sox pulled it out. I wouldn't say pull it out. They beat the Cardinals 5-1. Brewers, again, yesterday lost to the Cubs 5-0. The young Miami Marlins looking real good this year. They're young, but they're holding their own. They beat the Athletics 12-3. The Braves went down to the Dodgers. Shohei went crazy yesterday on the Braves. I mean, he really gave it to them yesterday. My old team, Baltimore Orioles, beat the Reds yesterday 11-1. Also yesterday, we had two more games. The Padres lost 11-4 to the Diamondbacks, and the Giants lost 5-4 to the Phillies. And let's go to today's game. Today's game, we had a couple of final games where the Phillies beat the Giants 6-1. Guardians, this is in the seventh, top of the that's in mid-seventh inning. Guardians 2-1 on top of the Tigers. This is mid-six, the bottom of the six, 4-1, Pirates over the Angels. And then we have the Rays 4-2 in the middle of the fourth inning over the White Sox 4-2 again. Milwaukee Brewers is in the fourth inning. Brewers on top of the Royals 2-0. Mariners, the bottom of the second is a 0-0 tie, a 0-0 game. Another 0-0 game is the Padres and the Cubs. 1-0. We have the Mets over the Cardinals, and they just finished the end of the first inning going into the second. Tonight, this evening at 9:40, we're going to have the Rangers playing the Athletics. At 10:10, the Mariners, we're playing the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are hot. They are hot, so we got to watch what they're doing. So that's some of the scores. I'll give you a little bit of what's going on. Knicks are still up. They're up 25-17 on the Indiana Pacers. This year, I think Knicks, they may pull it out. I have a feeling when I say pull it out, I'm not saying going to the NBA Finals, But I'm talking, I think they're going to squeak through the second round because and I could imagine they miss a few components, but they're looking good. They're looking real good. So, again, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Mrs. Julian Stevens. I'm going to come in, and we're going to make sure that we get a good conversation with him. If you guys want to call in, man, feel free to call in at 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Usually, I'm actually waiting to step in would be my buddy Dixon and my partner Tony Holton. But I'm not sure. There might be traffic on the way, so they can't have him make it as yet. But I'll be here until they make it. If not, you know what? We're going to make a show out of it. Like I said, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Mr. Julian Stevens. Julian Stevens is a guy, a really interested gentleman. I think you guys are going to love listening to him tonight. He's a very positive thinker, very creative thinker. He's not one of those guys that's a follower. He leads in everything he does. He makes sure that he gives the opportunity to his son and put his hand on his son himself and work with him and hitting and work with him everything. And I think his son developed into a great college hitter. So we're going to make sure that we talk a little bit of pick his brain on why he did what he did and what he's doing. And because of that, I think other people reach out to Julian Stevens and want him to do the same thing for their kids. He's also connecting us because I'm affiliated with an organization called The Savage Cat Baseball Academy, where we go. We have 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 ages do travel ball. And Julian is one of those guys, like I said, very creative. He want to make sure that every kid have an opportunity to play this game of baseball. So he's connecting us to the North Carolina area so we can actually go. They can come down here, and I think the following year we'll go there. So we'll try to make a friendship yearly thing, see how it starts off this year, and then we can go from there and make it happen. One of the things that we do, myself actually does, is make sure that everybody, we connect people. We'll connect. You listen to CRS Radio, the Caribbean radio show. It's a Caribbean radio show, and this program is called Sports Chat and More. We talk about sports. We talk about life. We mention everything that's going on, so we don't just limit ourselves in what we, what's put ourselves in a box, put it that way. We're not in a box. We're outside the box. We're also a program that we open our program to the community. We're not the people that say, well, you have to be certain people. You have to be in this level, that level for us to interview you. Man, mom and pop can give us a call and say, hey, I have this going on. I would like to talk to you guys. I like to present what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, and all kind of stuff like that. So that's something that we're here. We're trying to have an open platform for everybody, not certain people. So we usually have myself, Tony Holton, and at the end of the show, we bring in Dr. Rhoda Arundel, and we talk about what's going on. It doesn't specifically have to be that, whatever it is. We go with what's going on in the world today, the Caribbean world, because it's something that we always want to make sure that everybody who's in the Caribbean touch everybody. All the islands. You got the Jamaica, St. Thomas, St. Croix, Tortola, Antigua, St. Kitts, Nevis. We have all these islands. We're trying to connect every one of them with whatever's going on. And I always tell people, even though we're Caribbean people, we all have our own little culture that we have. So everybody have a culture that they believe in. Because I look at myself growing up, and even I live in Atlanta right now, and boy, I every now and then, man, I have to go and find myself a Caribbean restaurant. I have to, because it get me grounded in knowing that I miss my food. I miss my Caribbean food. Then I, you know, so I make sure that I go and get me my my oxtail and rice. I try to say, I try not to eat any kind of pork or meat, but I give in on my oxtail and rice, man. I give in on that. When I go down to St. Martin, you know, I kind of sneak a little bit and cheat again because there's this one barbecue joint right off going into Phillipsburg, St. Martin, and I think it's open like 4 or 5 in the morning. And, I mean, their barbecue is to die for, you know. So if anybody's going to St. Martin and taking a trip to St. Martin, and St. Martin, man, go pull up. Going into Phillipsburg, St. Martin, there's a barbecue joint right there. Stop off and enjoy their barbecue. They have chicken. They have ribs. They even have some cowfoot soup, man, the Caribbean's cowfoot soup. In the back of the day, I didn't know what it was growing up. I always hear about Manish water. I didn't know what it meant until I got older, know what Manish water was. But I also had a song about the Manish water. So, you know, we're Caribbean, man, and we're not Caribbean, we're world. So we're going to make sure that everybody get a little piece of the action. And like I said, if you have something that you want to talk about, it's something that you want everybody, whether it's Caribbean or the U.S., because you could be anywhere in the world, listen to us, man. CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show, Sports Chat. We're not the only program on the CRS Radio. There's many different programs on CRS Radio, but we are the Sports Chat and more. So we try real hard to actually engage. And what we're also trying to do is find out if anybody out there that knows someone in the cricket world. We also want to have conversation with someone in the cricket world. Talk about what's going on with the West Indies. You know, what's going on with the cricket family, the cricket community, because we don't want to just talk about basketball, baseball, or even football, U.S. football, not even soccer. Even if you have someone of soccer, which is in the Caribbean island we call football, and you know someone that have that, man, we would love to give them, you know, 5 minutes every show, 5 minutes cricket, 5 minutes of football, and just give everybody in the Caribbean what's going on. We had this show on about 4 or 5 years ago, or maybe more than that, and we always used to have someone from Jamaica that give us scores and highlight or cricket, even netball. We want everybody to be a part of what we're doing on the CRS Radio Show, the Sports Chat and more. We want everybody to be a part of it. Again, you know, feel free. We got a lot of listeners, but sometimes we need to get some engagement and talking. Sometimes we'll get some people on the coming on the phone. I thought thinking that they wanted to say something, they don't. Or they you know, they'll hang up. Don't hang up. If you don't answer, then I know that you didn't call in to have conversation. You just call in to listen. So we're okay with that. Again, for the rest of the people who doesn't know, give us a call 661-467-2407. We're trying hard to make sure that everybody gets a taste of the Caribbean Radio Show, CRS Radio. It's been in existence a very long time, and we're trying to make this station grow as high, as far, and as wide in the world, and not just the Caribbean angle. Me sitting in studio right now in Atlanta, knowing that it's a Caribbean Radio Show, is a beautiful thing. Terry Reed, the Doc, Mr. Brown, all of them you know, very instrumental in getting this radio station going. We've got to make sure that we thank them by sometimes shooting a little note to them saying, hey, you know, we enjoy the show, you know, all that stuff. We like Skeet. You know, you better say that because, you know, I'll be trying to check it out. No, I'm just kidding. I just want everybody to be a part of the show, man, and just be good at what we do. I'm kind of upset a little bit because I think Traffic have my co-host kind of locked up. But you know what? We're going to handle it without them. We're looking at the scores. You know, the Knicks was up big, and now the Knicks are down by 2, is 27-29. So the Indiana Pacers are up on them right now. I'm going to go back over and look at the baseball scores and see what's going on with the teams that, you know, the early scores that they give it, that's playing in the top of the fourth, fifth, all those innings and see what's going on. Again, if you guys, I'm going over again. My name is Rafael Skeet. Originally was born in St. Kitts, and my family moved to St. Martin when I was 5 years old. Had the opportunity to learn the game of baseball at St. Martin. God bless me and really bless me to be a baseball player. Got the opportunity to play. I was reading a text of someone that texted me just now. Got an opportunity to sign with the Baltimore Orioles organization as a young kid in a 17, 18 coming out of the island. And a lot of people don't understand about some of the island. The St. Martins are not like back then. The St. Martin, the Curacao, and the Aruba back then is not like what they are now. Curacao and Aruba now have a lot of professional coaching, a lot of professional stuff going on. So if you really look at Major League Baseball right now, you see a lot of people from Curacao, a lot of people from Aruba, because they allow the growth of baseball to infiltrate what baseball is all about. And so now you're seeing so many major leaguers from Curacao and Aruba, because what they did is they took that blueprint from the Dominican Republic, from DR, and they took that blueprint and they make it work for them. I can't say it's a lack of funds or whatever it is, but the island of St. Martin, where I came from, that didn't happen. Because when I was a young kid growing up, our baseball was on the same level. It's not even close on the same level now as we speak. Curacao and Aruba is way above what St. Martin have. I can't say we anymore, what St. Martin have. Why that happened is because they allow change. They saw the future probably 10 years ago of what Dominican Republic was doing. Because the first time the Dominican Republic started having academies, professional academies, was the Toronto Blue Jays and the LA Dodgers. They're the one who started the whole project of having professional academies in Dominican Republic. And Curacao took that blueprint and they did the same thing. The community, the government, everybody accepted all that. Aruba did the same thing. Right now, there is probably, last time I checked, and I could be definitely wrong, there were like 65 players from the Curacao professional rank that's either in the major league or in the minor league. In Aruba, I think there was 35 or so. And in Dominican, of course, there's a whole bunch. You can't. And the island where I'm from, when I told you back when I was a teenager, we were equal in talent. We have none. Not one. And what that boils down to is knowing how to accept changes. I think that's, I have to say it this way. When people don't know what the next level or what's over the mountain, they can't tell you what's over the mountain because I've never been over the mountain. So that's what Curacao and Aruba did. They got people that went over that mountain, came back and told them, hey, over that mountain, have a whole lot of stuff. You know, so they want to know, because if they've been, they know they can go and do it. St. Martin did not allow the people who was over that mountain to come in and help them to get over that mountain. And that mountain is professionalism and baseball and to the next level and how to play the game and become professional athletes. Now, don't get me wrong. St. Martin had, I would say, probably in my lifetime, probably 12 or so professional athletes. 12 or so professional athletes. And I say that to say this, the first one that ever left the island of St. Martin, his name was Edward Rohan. He was a right-hand pitcher, was picked up with the Baltimore Orioles organization. He was the first St. Martin ball player that left. You have to give him his roses right now. You know, he opened the door for a lot of other young cats behind him. Second behind him was a gentleman called Glenn Patterson. Glenn Patterson was drafted Texas Ranger. And I'll give you a little bit about Glenn Patterson, because Glenn Patterson was throwing probably about 95 to 100 miles an hour 30 years ago. And that's not even an exaggeration. Glenn Patterson was throwing curveballs like 89 miles an hour, curveball. So it was hard for anybody to hit this guy. And what the problem was with Glenn Patterson is that Glenn Patterson, I wouldn't say Glenn Patterson, the baseball folks on the island did not know how to treat young, treat pitchers and treat your arm. You know, you get thrown, you ice your arm, you know, you do this, you run, you know, poles after pole, you long toss, you know, you treat your arm, you get your arm back in condition. And no one knew how to do that. And so once he got drafted with Texas Rangers, he threw, he was in the minor league, and he was blowing it up. I mean, he was great. And one game, he blew his elbow out because his elbow had all that wear and tear, and it was hard to really get him back to prominence. And Glenn Patterson never became Glenn Patterson, the one we know. If we had him, he would have been the first major league ball player out of St. Martin. I mean, bar none. There's no ands, if, or but about that. The third person came out of St. Martin was yours truly. I had the opportunity to get a drink of coffee in the major league roster. I got injured, but I had fun doing what I did. You know, in a year and a half, from being a young kid from St. Martin who never had any professional training to being on a major league roster a year and a half after that, tells you a couple of things. A couple of things is that guy probably really good. You know, I was really good at what I did. And the talent pool that he played against and played with was very good on St. Martin. So it could be both. And I want to say it was both. I was just trying to be a little funny about what I just said, but it's a little of both. I was good at what I did. I used my pluses and worked hard on my negatives. And that's a lot of things that you have. You know, when you have a lot of things to work on, you work on those, but you don't forget the things that you do well. One of the things I did well is I could run. I run like the wind. I could fly. And so I developed being a good base stealer, knowing how to steal bases, knowing how to run base. And that's one of the things that got me to the next level every year to the next level. So you know, I like to talk to a lot of young kids out there, is you don't just sit, you know, you don't go practice, take your glove and your bat or your backpack up and you go practice. And you go home, you put your backpack down, and you go on the video game. Don't work that way, because there's kids that out there that was like, you know, the young kids, they go to work. They're in the yard. They're in the backyard. They're throwing ball. They're doing everything. So when you go back again and pick that backpack up and go back on the field, that kid who's been working, he's gone beyond. He's above you. You know, and a lot of parents should understand that if you are putting a lot of money into the sport for your kid, no matter what sport it is, you cannot let them determine how you spend your money. They have to put the work in. They also have to say, thank you, mom, thank you, dad, putting that work in. You know, you can't, number one, you also, mom and dad, know your kid's limit. Know their limit. Know how, where they are, and be behind them. Don't tell them that they are better than they really are, you know. Tell them they need to work, and once you start work, you let them know that they have to work. They'll put the work in, because a lot of people say, you know what? I tell my son the same thing you're telling him, but he don't listen to me. He's listening to you. No, he listens. He does listen, but he could turn it on and off with you. He can't turn it on and off with the coach. He has to show the coach what the coach is talking about, and that's the difference. He hear you, but then it's a fact that are you holding him accountable. Our organization, we hold players. I have a team, a 12-U team that I personally coach. And I think a lot of parents look at the kids and, you know, like, man, we're not winning games. We're not winning games. Well, my job is not to win games. My job is to grow those kids, develop those kids. And I tell, and Mr. Perkins is going to come on later. If he comes on later on, he'll let you know. I sit and I say, listen, man, I look at like my team as a complete puzzle, and I have to put my puzzle together. And that's how coaches coach. They don't go up and say, I got these guys. No, you put your puzzle together. You got to know who you have, where you have, and why you have these guys there. When you pick up a team, you may say, you know, I have to fill my team with one or two guys temporarily just to get my team rolling. But I'm going to find out this guy that I want here, he may not be ready here, but a couple of games down the road, he'll be ready. And by doing that, you'll find out that these kids grow into, and they start believing. It's the same thing as a professional team or college team, a high school team. These kids, these players have to buy into your philosophy. If they don't buy into it, you can't get them, you can't convince them that that's what they need to do to be successful. And I don't care about winning or losing. If you're successful, you're doing exactly everything you're supposed to do on the baseball, softball, basketball court, football field. If you do the right thing, you will win games. You will definitely win games. There's no difference with any sport. It's about believing in the process, making sure the process is what you need to be following. So you that's why we have coaches. And you know, as a coach for travel ball, you know, a lot of dads, they're gonna always feel like they know more than the coaches. They know better than the coaches. Baseball is the only sports that the dads think that they know more than what the coaches does. And then earlier I was talking about over the mountain and over the hill. A lot of dads haven't been over that hill to tell the kids that's what it looks like over that hill. Coaches, a lot of coaches do. Trust me, a lot of coaches doesn't either. But there's a lot of coaches do. The resume that we have in our academy, I've done that. We went over that mountain. We went over that hill. We know what it's like on the other side. So trust our process. Trust what we do. Trust that if we tell you lean left or lean right, that's the right way to get to that spot over the hill. And there are so many kids that I've come in contact with in my coaching career, and I could sit down and say some played the game up to high school and left. There's a lot of them in college, and there's a few in pro. So the thing is that I can't sit here and tell you what your son are going to be or your son's going to do. If I sit and I tell you that I could turn your son into a professional athlete, please kick me out of your house. Or just tell me, get out my face. But I can tell you, I can actually give them the opportunity, give them the tool, and it's up to them to make it possible. That is something I can promise. You know, I can promise you that if from the first game your son play to the last game, you will see a difference. I can promise you that. So me promising you he's going to be a starter in high school or a starter in college, man, then you should just take me to the nut house because I'm crazy. So we just have to understand that we cannot just tell kids what they want to hear. You got to tell them the truth. You have to hit them between the eyes and say, hey, this is where you're wrong. This is where you're lacking. You can't play today. You're not playing because of. You're not doing this, or you can't make that. So it's just different ways. You have to have these kids learn the game and make sure that they know what's going on in the game. You know, so don't feed them. Please don't feed these kids a pipe dream, man. Give them the reality, and trust me, eventually down the road they will thank you for it. Don't just tell them anything and then think it's a great thing you're doing. So, you know, don't do that. Just be real. Just talk honestly with them. Again, if you guys want to call in, this is CRS Radio, the Caribbean Radio Show. You listen to Rafael Skeet with the sports chat and more, the CRS Radio Sports Chat and More. Give us a call at 661-467-2407. That's 661-467-2407. Got some listeners listening. Thank you guys for listening. and listen to our program. We're sitting and waiting for Stevens to call in. We'll have a conversation with him. And then right after that, we'll have a conversation with Mr. Gregory Bryant. Bring him in, have a little conversation with him. We'll talk about what he's got going on and a little bit about his son. We're going to talk to Mr. Stevens as well about Mr. Juju, how he's doing and all that stuff. So we're gonna make sure that we have we complete our program and make sure everything, you know, is on the up and up, and we got things in the right spot. Julie and I, we're gonna have some conversation, some good conversation about baseball, you know, and about SEC and trying to make sure everything is on the up and up with what's going on. And whatever issues I think he's seeing with everything that's going on, we're going to talk about that. No holds barred. We're going to be letting everybody have it tonight. Again, listen to CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show. Listen to myself here, Raphael Skeet, with the Caribbean Sports Chat and more. We'll be right back in a little bit.
You're listening to Raphael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
So what we're going to do, we're going to actually go back and give you a little bit about what we talked about. Now we're at the top of the ninth. The Tigers are up. Actually, the Tigers are down 2-1 with Cleveland. And the Angels are down 4-1 at the bottom of the eighth, 4-1. White Sox down 7-2 with the Rays. Bottom of the fifth, Brewers 2-0. Bottom of the fourth. I'm sorry, bottom of the sixth. They're beating the Royals. Mariners, there's still no score with both them and the Twins. Padres, no score. Middle of the fourth, and the Mets are up 1-0 on the Cardinals. Just bear with us, and we'll get going. Mr. Stevens, man, how you doing tonight?
My brother, I am well. Good to hear your voice, man. Doing well.
Hey, it's good to have you on. Good to have you on. I was trying to hear. I'm here talking you up a little bit and talking a little bit about you know, how interested of a person you are since I met you. You've been a very creative person. So I know you. So let my listeners know a little bit about Julian Stevens before we get into it.
You're too kind. Thank you. Well, hello, everyone. As you said before, my name is Julian Stevens. I am a bit of a polymath. A creator, a designer. I'm a father, husband, love my family. That's the core of everything that we do. I like to say we're legacy makers. But baseball, we're a baseball family, and baseball has been a significant part of our lives for the most part. And that's where we are. That's the arena that I find myself in, consulting, training, meeting coaches, just getting to the heart of people at the center of this game. Baseball is a very unique game that offers a lot of opportunities, or can limit a lot of opportunities at face value. So that's about it. What you see is what you get.
I got you. One of the things that I was talking about, mainly, is that you took it more on yourself, and you say, you know, let me work with my kid. I'm a creator. I know what I'm trying to do, and I know what I'm trying to make happen, and I want to be the one to do it. What made you, and what made you say, this is what I'm going to do?
It's a good question. Love, you know, dedication to who we are, what I saw in my son and in his life. As we were training, he even had the hiccups really bad, so you'll hear me throw out dollars from time to time. I enjoyed it. I was an athlete, a collegiate athlete at the highest level. We at Oral Roberts University, and then we branched off to try to run in the trial. So being competitive at that high level gave me a lot of understanding and insight as to what it would take to get any athlete, but particularly my son, where he wanted to be. So baseball was the core of our bonding, but it wasn't just baseball, because we homeschooled our children. So at the Senesky, a lot of it stems from the home environment and how you fashion your home environment. I wrote a book called The System, and it was basically observation. Because I don't have a PhD behind my name or whatever, I call them observations. And I test tested those observations on clients for 2 years to see what the data would be. So I have a wide spectrum of information to concretely draw conclusions that could point an athlete in a specific. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that did. But let me ask you this. What year or what age range you said, okay, this kid's going to be a D1 player?
Oh, wow. You know, D1 was never a question. It was never a factor like, oh, he is going to play. We never said that. We never did it. What we did was, again, starting from home, because it was a homeschool environment, we curtailed lessons. We curtailed his curriculum, you know, according to his desire. We let him choose the desire. I remember telling him one day, I say, Gigi, what do you want to do? You know, I said, we're going to go at it. And remember, for me, because of the competitive nature at a high level, that's where we start from. So to any parent or anyone listening, you're going to start from the platform where you are and then go from there. So my expertise allowed me to usurp certain normalities, certain norms in order to produce something, because I didn't know why I was producing, you know.
I got you. Tell me a little bit about what's going on now with Juju and what do you see going on right now. I'll give you the floor to have that conversation with a host, with our guests, and let us know what's going on right now with Juju.
Okay. Well, anytime, you know, first of all, he loves the game, but anytime you get new coaches coming in, they have their different perspectives. So in a nutshell, so for this year, coming from injury, which, you know, in our opinion, his opinion, he wasn't injured. You know, you can look at injury and say, well, you're not going to play according to a real legitimate injury. But if you're not injured, a coach would say, okay, well, you're not going to play because of an injury. That's an excuse or an untruth or reasoning too. And that's something that I, at the core concerning this baseball, have really begun to see the types of mental abuse that a coach, just a coach, and a lot of times coaches have to own it. I speak with a lot of SEC Power 5 coaches whose names, out of respect, I'll leave out. But, you know, we talk. And because of the level of respect and privacy that I give them, they do give me some very private information, eye-opener that I think a parent needs to know, as well as I think schools and organizations need to really take a deeper look at the mental abuse that we put on our echelon athletes who want to play. They're there because they can play, especially SEC Power 5, you know, not negating the ACCs and all that, but a lot of the Power 5s in your top tier schools where these kids are moving around because now they can, and I think it's great, you know, because for that same reason, if they can, you know, earn a better paycheck or whatever, why not? Because they're still playing, they're still earning their stripes, but you get some coaches who feel that they're bigger than the game, or they use that leverage because of the desire for a athlete who wants to play. You can use the because clause to keep them off the field. And he's experienced that incredible that by all means. It's like, well, why is he not playing? It's okay,
right,
if the coach explains their reasons, but to not explain yourself and then you give expectations or false pretenses or false hope, that's abuse, and it falls under a line of mental abuse.
Gotcha.
You know, and it can destroy a play. It's kind of like a quarter horse. A quarter horse is meant to run. And if you don't run that horse under certain conditions, or you run that horse at some time, you begin to cause more damage to that quarter horse psychologically as well as physically. And that's something that we've been noticing, that I've been trying to raise awareness, you know, to different coaches who will listen. And for the most part, some do, but, you know, one stone at a time, you know what I mean?
Correct. So what I'm saying, is there, I know, you know, listen to it, I know there's no way he's going to be going back that there. But is there a school that he might say that, you know, maybe this one I might want to go into now that there's a portal available to players?
Well,
You don't want to talk about it, it's fine. But I was just ask there. All you have to say yes, there's one, or no, there isn't. I know sometimes you can't just say what's going on, you know.
Yeah, and that's the unique mystique about baseball right now. It's not advantageous to say, you know, it won't lead to anything, because again, at the long run, it's about the athlete's desire to play the game. You know, baseball, you know, apple pie, you know, they want to play baseball. These guys spend a lot of time developing themselves to do a specific goal. So opportunities are available, and that's what we would say to any athlete who feels it. Not only feel, but know that they're in that position above transferring what they should do. It is open up and communicate with their loved ones, open up and build a strong community, a strong base for communication to where they can express their feelings, their ills, their woes, their highs, their lows, because it could be detrimental. I know sometimes my son, he would write letters and share them. You know, sometimes there's trepidation being able to go straight to the coach. I know one coach said, well, we will talk. That coach never fulfilled that covenant. There was never any communication, you know, but yet to just, you know, you just show up and do what you're told. That's antiquated, because you look at the way the portal is being used. The portal is being used like a free trade. You get out there and you can move yourself around. I think baseball has to update itself as far as the way we think about not just the game, but the individual. You know, yes, they're athletes and they're a commodity because we want to win now. You got to think about the athlete. And I think there needs to be some monitoring, you know, concerning that. But as far as gameplay, he's going to be all right. Yeah.
I believe that. I'm seeing him swing. I see him do his thing, man. It's a real good ball player. He's a good ball player. So I know he's gonna get what's coming to him in a great way. One little speed bump don't stop the trip. You know what I'm saying? It don't stop the journey.
Right.
So and he have a dad that's behind him that's gonna make sure that he stay focused. And that's why I'm kind of glad that they're the NIL, because the NIL takes a little bit away. Of course, name and likeness, you know, interest and likeness. So it takes away a lot of what coaches do or don't do to get these young ball players to almost, you know, determine their own future. And I'm not saying on the field, but still, you know, nobody want to bounce around all over the place, but at least give an opportunity to say, you know what, my future is not here. My future is somewhere else. You know, so they have the opportunity to do that before.
Yes, absolutely. And even at that, Skeet, NIL, name, image, likeness, the rules of what it is need to be clearer to parents and to athletes, because what it does, it offers you protection. When you get a name, image, likeness deal, and I'm paraphrasing it,
right,
you gain protection. It guarantees you to a large degree, opportunity to play on that field.
Correct.
You know, you're trading in. And see, those are new rules that parents a lot of times don't know. But it's not the Power 5 schools, because the Power 5 schools now have become something different. It's almost like the minor leagues. You know, now you can look at Division II schools, which will become extremely powerful, you know. And as that trickles down, the landscape is going to change, but not just the landscape. The quality of coaching is going to change. I think there's going to be a different sensitivity towards the mental aspect of the game, you will see a better quality of game because there are a lot of guys, I'm telling you, the mental abuse, you know, using excuses to keep a person off of, to keep an athlete off the field, that's almost unethical. It's crushing, and it's not something where we should be comfortable. So going way back to what, one of your questions, how did we realize that, you know, my son was a D1 athlete? We never did it. I remember getting from homeschool, it offered frequency. It offered lots of time to get out on the field and go over very meticulously, very small, certain skill sets that would put him in an echelon I, that someone with that particular eye or skills, mentally or physically, could say, hey, you're not just your average player. You know, why don't you come over here and play, not just to play, so that we can see you develop over a process of time. That's what we did. People would call and ask, well, how did you get your son to the Super 60? How did you get your son to, the East Coast Pro? How did you do this? I'm like, to be honest with you, and this is the, you know, God-given truth, I never even knew they existed. We just head down, developed the skill sets in the game, and it was a positive mindset. You know,
remember, I think, played the area code game as well, didn't he?
Yeah, the area code. All of those echelon invites. I mean, and it's a lot of them. I'm not going down the list for the names because I think when you try to, well, I just want to go here. It does sour the beauty of development. Because we look at it, and we talk all the time. It's the development of the game. You know, if you skip steps, you're going to skip steps. And when you skip steps, you're going to see in the game, you skip steps.
Right.
And it comes out. So I think it also develops the mentality that head down, grind it out. Like when I talk to him, he's still like, yo, I'm working on this. I'm working on this in the game. Even though I'm not in the game, I'm still playing the game. I'm ready to play the game. Never once.
Yeah, you can't stop.
No.
You definitely can't stop. Yeah. Hold on one second, Julie. Let me see. I think I have someone. Error code 561. Are you there? 561 error code. Are you there? And maybe they're just listening in. But we got a lot of listeners, so maybe he's just one of them. He's been waiting for a little bit. So go ahead, Julian. I was also talking to my listeners a little bit about we're trying to get something together to have a friendly weekend, super weekend with some teams from the North Carolina area. How is that coming?
Oh wow, the teams down here are excited. It's stemming from and even adding to that, a lot of say my son and a lot of those guys during the summer are going to come down to even work, you know, openly with a lot of the participants of that, you know, of this tournament. But it's developing very well with, again, changing the mentality by educating and informing parents about the process of the game and how you really play it aside from, and there's nothing wrong with the mom and pop, you know, game, because that's one of the foundations. What I think is getting an infusion of knowledge, like real knowledge on how you move forward in the game, how you develop your son or your daughter so that they can stand for the long term and not get hurt. What's overuse? What does a real game for development, what does it look like over a process of time, and how then do I manage the peaks and valleys that we call improvement? What does it take to induce improvement? So my work down here in the Raleigh-Durham area, a lot of times I'm working out of Cary, you know, we've developed a core group, and parents are starting to listen. It's starting to take shape as far as what the landscape looked like, so that when we come to Atlanta, when we go to Connecticut, you know, we should have a good turnout because the expectations will have already been fortified. So it's looking good. We coming to you, man. We coming.
I love. I can't wait for that to happen. I definitely can't wait. Hey, but Julian, man, it's a pleasure having you on today, man. We got to do this again. We definitely have to do this another time. Got a couple other guests coming on, but man, I enjoyed this conversation. I couldn't wait to have you on because I know this is something that we've been working on for a while. We want to make sure that, that we touch as many kids as possible, and we're gonna get things going, man. So Julian, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you, and let's do it again sometime.
Hey, amen. Looking forward to it. Thank you guys. Thank you for having me.
Talk to you later. Thank you.
God bless.
That was Julian Stevens. Julian Stevens, intricate person trying to work on young kids and trying to get them from state to state playing baseball. And we're looking forward for them to come to come to Atlanta to play the Savage Baseball Academy. Again, you're listening to CRS Radio, the CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Show. Pleasure for us to be on the CRS Radio platform. We're going to continue doing what we can and do the best we can to keep Doc happy and keep Mr. Reed happy and keep them all happy because we enjoy doing what we're doing. We're actually going to have a conversation with Dr. Rhoda Arundel, waiting also for Mr. Kenny Perkins. I'm trying to see if he could roll into the studio, waiting for him to do so. So what we're going to do is we're going to still pick up the conversation with Ms. Rhoda Arundel. We're just going to have conversation because with her and I, we talk. And it's always about the Caribbean talk and talk about what's going on in the Caribbean atmosphere. You know, we learn from each other, and we're gonna see what's going on. So we're going to talk a little bit with Ms. Rhoda. If Kenny walked in, we'll stop, have a little conversation with Kenny, and then we'll pick it up again with Ms. Rhoda Arundel. So right after this, we'll talk with Ms. Rhoda Arundel.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Good evening, Ms. Arundel. How are you?
Hey, good evening. How you doing? I'm good, thanks.
I think I got to start putting some music or something like that. You know, instead of just that, the Caribbean Radio Show, maybe put a little music or something like that. I don't know. We're going to have to just pause it a little bit, a little music, and reset a little bit and keep going. We're talking to Julian Stevens, creator, man. This guy, he works on so many different things to create hitting and to get the power of hitting, the speed of hitting, we got to have him back on the show a little bit. So what is on Ms. Rhoda Arundel's mind today?
Okay, before I get into our Caribbean talk about Caribbean Studies Association, but let me do that right now and remind your viewers, your listeners, about the conference in St. Lucia, June 3rd through the 7th. The Caribbean Studies Association conference is 50 years old, and we're putting on an exceptional conference in St. Lucia and still inviting people to come to St. Lucia for the first week in June for a whole week of workshops, film screenings, discussions, panel discussions, cultural activities, and a whole bunch of things that bring out the best of the Caribbean, right? It's not just academia. It's a combination of academia, culture, brotherhood, sisterhood, just getting together, right? So if people are still not yet booked or interested, you can register at the Caribbean Studies Association website to attend the 50th Annual Caribbean Studies Association Conference in St. Lucia. Yes, so I want to remind us of that, right? But I was listening to your conversation just now with your guest, and I have a question. Well, I had a question for your guest, but he's gone. But
yeah,
like
he's gone.
Ask,
so hold on 1 second for that question. Mr. Gregory, how are you?
Good. How are you, Koski?
Man, hey, I invite you in, but I didn't hear anything. So I thought, you know, I didn't know what you meant. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I didn't want to interrupt the gentleman's conversation. So, you know, I didn't want to be rude, but thank you for having me.
No. Hey, we want happy family here in the CRS Radio Sports Chat. I have Ms. Rhoda Arena online. She's usually my guest every Monday, but since I have you on, and she's a professor at Howard University, I have you on, I want to have a say hi to each other there. Rhoda, say hi to Mr. Gregory.
Hi, good
evening,
Mr. Gregory. I'm fine, thanks. But I'm glad that you're here because maybe you can answer the question as well, right? We'll have the conversation. Right, because I was thinking, right, because Rafael, you know, like in the Caribbean, for the most part, I can't say it's the same for every single person in every sport, but for the most part, the Caribbean, we see sports more like as a hobby and something that you do in addition to whatever extra time you have outside of school and whatever else. And so to Mr. Bryant and your guest, who, you know, I'm understanding that have children that play sports and that they as parents guide them into, you know, a more professionalized sport. I'm wondering how and where do the parents come to the conclusion that this could be a career path for the child, right? Is it something that you notice as a skill early on in the child's development, or is it like a wish of the parents that they guide their children into a professional sports career? And, you know, I'm really curious about that.
I can answer the first part, and I'll let Mr. Gregory answer the second part. The kids in the U.S. does not go into it as you know, they all have dream, but it's not like parents want them to be professional. It's really a hobby at first. And that hobby becomes very interested most of the time. And then after a while, you know, these parents put some money into getting these kids developed. It's not to be a professional. Most of the time, it's to go to school. It's not professional. It's to go to college. It's to go to high school, go to college, and move on from there. But it's not really a professional endeavor
Are you suggesting that the path or the opportunity that college offers is a strong attraction?
I think the college is wider than. Go ahead, Mr. Gregory. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think any I'll just speak for me as a parent of an athlete. Most parents don't go into it for the kid to make it to professional sports. We go into it for one, to either pay for their college education, secondly, to keep them busy so that they're not into anything because, you know, a teenage boy or girl, idle mind, they find things to do. And the third thing, to give them some point of focus. Studies have shown that being an athlete helps you do better in life because you have the ups and downs of losing, winning, being put on the bench, not being as competitive. That's life. So that's what most parents go into having their kids in sports because it's a part of what life would be. And that's the way I've seen it for my kids.
Oh, that's interesting because my kids both played college ball, volleyball, but it was also because they were around the sports a lot because I was involved. And when they wanted to continue, I said it was a natural progression. But that was because they were exposed to it because I was involved. So I'm wondering, like in the United States, you guys have so many opportunities very early on. But they're all coming out of the school system, right? And this is a conversation that Rafael and I have about the importance of making access through schools so that at a very early age they're already exposed, but they also get the skills or the interest, and then they see college and other opportunities open up as a result.
Yeah, and that's absolutely correct. It start out with being a child athlete, building interest, and the kid grows up and have more interest. So, it's twofold. There are some parents that are out there that are looking for their kid to be a professional athlete. But a parent like myself who does well in life is not looking for that for their kid, because there are additional options in life to succeed, to be successful, to have the things you want to have. So it really depends on the parents. But at the end of the day, I think most parents just want to see their kids at a very young age succeed at something so that it can push them into the next part of their life to succeed as well. So.
And talking about, and we're talking about life experiences, and let's talk about Brian, let's talk about your son. When we talk about going through difficulties and sit on the bench and go through the lows and then the highs and the lows, at age 14, he already went through a lot of the highs and the lows of sports. I would say the lows and not the highs, you know, because I think what he's been through was a lesson, a self-taught lesson for himself to know what it's like, what it's like. You know what I'm saying? And now you and I look at him and go, wow. You know, the road is tough. Look now, I'm going what I'm seeing. You know, and this is one of the things that Rhoda, I'll tell you one thing, his son Caleb, and I think I've been working with Caleb, I think he was 11 or 12. And
yeah. He
had so much ups and downs with people, the naysayers. But this kid never stopped working. And I'm telling you this, he never stopped working, and he never wanted to tell his dad, I don't want to go. His dad lets go, he's gone. I tell him to run 10 times, four times, one time, it doesn't matter, he does it. Right? It happens, so change of scenery, made it so much better for him, because they always say that sometimes change of scenery is good for you, and it was great for him. And the opportunities that this young man is facing right now, they bring tears to my eyes, because I saw how hard this young man worked. And I'm saying, when I say work, he never say no, he never say I'm tired, he never say stop. And now he having the Texas Rangers you developmental team, and he's only 14, and they don't care for 14, because this kid worked so hard to get to where he's at right now. His dad now can sit back and say, you know what, I put a lot of money into this kid, but you know what, I enjoy every moment of it. And I don't want to talk for you, Brad. I want to talk for you, but it just feels like I'm so much a part of his growth that it's crazy that it's hard for me not to play anything.
Yeah, I think we're 11 years old, I think we started working out with you. We were at one organization. He had a very difficult time getting playing time. They felt that he wasn't good enough to play on their team. And then that's when we started working with you, Coach Skeeter. And then secondly, we moved to another organization. They didn't give him a lot of playing time either. He rode the bench. I even had one of the owners tell me he just don't have it, right? So, but the kid was never given an opportunity. So we moved from Georgia to Texas. Let me back up. Before we left that organization, went to another organization, and they started playing him, and he started getting better. And then July of last year, we moved from Georgia to Texas. He came here, has done extremely well, has been on a team, has started every game, moved from left field, played some center field, has pitched, has hit very well. Last season, his batting average finished at 400. So, from a kid who rode the bench to finishing now, and then I have probably 20 emails or more for him, just colleges inviting him to camps, because at this stage they can't recruit, him. They can only invite him to camp. And then last week, Coach Skeet, remember I forwarded you the email from the Texas Rangers scout team asking him to come play for their team, and their team doesn't start until 15 years old, and he's 14. So they want him to come a year early to start playing with their team. So I tell any parent that's listening, you don't listen to the naysayers. If your kid want it, you support your kid and whatever they want to do. And it's not just sports, just life in general. If your kid wants to do something and it's the right thing to do, you as a parent should support their kid. So I always tell my son, you don't have to worry about anything. You got me. You understand? Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, I'm going to be there when no one else is there. I don't care what who say, I'm going to be there to support you and make sure you get the things you need to be successful. It's just, I say this last 10 months has been a whole change in his entire life. And it just took a change of scenery, moving from one place to the other.
Go ahead.
I say the crazy part is now he want to come back to Georgia to play. So I don't know why he wants to do that. That's all he talks about.
As I said, however what happens, he's open arm, family's still here. He's here. Coach Keith's still here, so he's always going to have the opportunity, man. Just like I said, this kid worked. And I remember telling you many times, man, wait till he hits 15 and 16. You be careful what you ask for. But I think he beat me to it. He's 14 and sitting doing it.
Yeah, started a little early, yeah.
Yeah, he started late, but hey.
You know what that goes to? We as adults have to be careful what we speak, because at the end of the day, it's up to that kid to do what they need to do to be successful. Because guess what? Time and time again, adults have second-guessed a kid, and they have proven them wrong. And that's the crazy part about sports. And this is not the first time I've seen this. I've seen this same thing with my nephew. Wasn't a great football player. Ended up being an excellent football player at the end of 11th, 12th grade, winning the state championship for his team in football, going to a Power 5 school to play football, getting drafted, all that stuff. So, but early he struggled. So I tell coaches, parents, whoever, don't second guess your kid if they want something, because if anyone wants something, they're going to do whatever they have to do to accomplish what they set out to do. Yeah, and that's where we have to be careful, and some people have to be careful, because people just don't see it. Because guess what? One thing about work and talent. Talent with no work don't win. But some talent and hard work always win. You know that, Coach, right? So
let me ask both you gentlemen a question then. What I hear is
Hold on. Before you finish, hold on. I know the question. I'm going to take a little small break. I'll bring any questions in. And you can answer that question.
Sorry?
Hold on one second.
You're listening to Rafael Steep on the Caribbean Radio Show with Sports, Chat, and More.
Mr. Park, how you doing? Welcome, man. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Well, hold on one second. And I know you got in the tail end of Aaron Bosch's question. You can probably answer some of the questions. Go ahead, Mr. Park.
No, the question I had to do was what role does socioeconomic status play in this conversation? Because having the parental support, the structure that's there, to allow the child to see a straight pathway, I imagine it costs a pretty penny. And does it, like, give kids who have more means a better pathway than those who do not?
I don't think it's totally that, because there are kids who have the grit to be extremely successful from a sports standpoint if that's what they want. So it's somewhat individualized, but does finances and things like that change the game? Sometimes, yes. But there are folks out there, most of your professional athletes didn't have the finances, the backing, and all of that to be successful. They had the grit, the want, the desire, and the work ethic to get to where they are. So that's part of what happened.
That's true.
Mr. Perk, since you're in here, tell us a little bit about yourself and tell us because Kenny Perkins, actually, he is the one that owns the facility that we as Savage work out of. We have a basketball, and there was a cage that we work out of, and he was gracious enough to say, hey, I got this place, this space. You can come on and use it. I know you guys need a space. He also have his own basketball academy. So let me bring him in and give him the floor, let him talk a little bit about himself and what he got going on. Go ahead, Mr. Perkins.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We got a basketball organization called OTM Basketball. We got 2 7th grade teams, and we'll actually be expanding next year. I've been coaching 13 years. So I've been doing this a long time. And then with the training facility that we got a lot of basketball going on in there, a lot of basketball trainers, and just more. It all started with my boys. I got one that plays baseball, one that plays football, and one that plays basketball. So with them trying to get an interest in the sport, I just purchased, rented out a facility and turned it into a training facility for sports. So that's how that came about. I wanted to go back to one of the young lady asked a statement about the economics of sports. I know when it comes to basketball, back in the days, it used to be, as the gentleman said, it used to be about, you know, who put the most work in, who's in the park, who's doing that the most. Nowadays, it's been shown and proven in a lot of different studies that most kids who live more in a medium to upper class level are more likely to succeed to making it professionally because they can afford the trainers who actually played that sport. Mm. So you have certain trainers or certain coaches. Like, again, from travel baseball to travel basketball, it's not cheap. You have to pay. It's pretty expensive to pay. And depending on the organization you get with, you got to pay separate for the trainers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that's coming into play. And a lot of, you know, when you're out in the playgrounds playing basketball, and I just could tell from the NBA standpoint, they're moving more to a European type style. So it's not more the glitz and glamour that we knew growing up. It's more of the fundamentals of basketball, which really can't be taught if you don't know what it is or have never played the sport on a high level.
Interesting.
And to put it this way, in his facility, there is some real good. I mean, these basketball these coaches. Is one we had on our show 3 weeks ago. Shane played NBA, and I knew he played some sport by the way he was working with these kids. You know, you can tell not just any Joe Blow off the street. I mean, you could tell the way he worked with these kids. He know what he's doing, you know, And that's the same thing with sports. And I'm gonna give you an example, Perks and Gregory. When I got Gregory Bryant's son, it was a coach who said that he could coach anybody and coach him up, gave him to me and said, I can't do it. I have his son. I'll give his son to you. I was to bring him. I got it. I could do it. And so there's a lot of times you may have these guys who say they're coaches that can do this and don't want to put the work. You know, you want the kid to put the work in, but as a coach, you don't want to put the work in. You know? So that's one of the things. That's how I knew that once I lay my hands on Caleb, I knew I wasn't going to quit because I wanted to prove a point to everybody, and I want him to prove a point to everybody.
See, that's the difference of a good, you know, a great trainer versus a good trainer. A great trainer takes it personal to make that kid better. Versus a good trainer that just wants to train them, make them better, and more likely just to do it for money. Example with Coach, you know, whenever I'm around Coach, I was always quiet. Really wouldn't say too much. I sat back and observed because my son plays with Coach. But when Coach seen me with my basketball team and how I got into them, it's just a totally different aspect. And it's the energy you put into those kids. And I've been doing it so long with these kids that the parents drop the kids off and they leave. When you get parents to actually sit there and watch to see what you do with their kids, these parents drop their kids off and leave. Coach, we're going to come back. Practice on at 8:30. They're pulling up at 8:25 and waiting outside. You know, just getting that certain coach that actually don't just do it. They actually do it to make the kids better. They want the kids better. That's their end goal, is to make every kid better on that team rather than money or just to pass the time around or something to do.
Awesome.
It's about the passion. If you don't have the passion, it will show. And the kid will see and know that
Coach
passion.
Key, can you hear me, Coach?
Yes,
Key?
I would say
with Caleb, it was a struggle, right? I think sometimes the kid get better because they fall in love with the instructor, how the person is teaching them and what the training looks like for them, and how the person's delivery. Remember, the original person delivery was didn't fit his personality because he's a really laid back kid, right? So it may didn't work for him. So your delivery was appropriate enough for him to understand and be able to deal with it to get better. But like I said before, you know, my son, he worships you. He thinks you're the best coach in the land, right? So
he's right about that.
So at the end of the day, right, it's whoever the kid who fits the kid, who the kid trusts, because a lot of it is when you're training a kid, it's not just about the skill, right? The skill set, building the skill. Anyone can teach the skill who knows how to do it and who's done it professionally or have done it for years, right? But sometimes with the kid has to trust the person who's working with them. And once that person receives their trust, they can teach them anything. That's even us as an adult. We only deal with people we trust. We don't deal with people we like. So, and that's what I seen transform my son. He you got his trust, he got your trust, and that's when his development started happening and everything started changing for him. So that's where I felt was the most important piece for him. But at the end of the day...
I say this, I don't coach every kid the same. If you start coaching every kid the same, you're in trouble. I coach every kid differently. I work with Perkins' son, and I'm trying to break a pattern that he has, but I'm not going to break a pattern that he has
And I'm going to work with someone, do the same thing, work with someone, do every kid. I teach every kid differently. And I see the same thing in her and when Shane do basketball. It's different. This is how it works. But, hey, maybe you can't go left fast. You got different ways of doing it. And basketball is a lot different than baseball. You know, Perfect would on would say more about that than I do. What did you say about basketball training and baseball?
Yeah, it's pretty much like you just said, each kid. I mean, I have a couple of kids. The more I scream at them, the more they get excited. You know, they really buckle down and get to it. I got a kid on the team right now in the seventh grade that's 6'1". And whenever I talk to him, I'll sit there and say to him, I won't scream at him. I say, hey, you go grab rebounds, you stay in the game. If you don't, you're going to sit on the bench. You know, and it's not about if he can do it or if he can't do it. That's the type of motivation he has. He wants to play. Then I got another kid that sits there and be like, you know, another guard that I will sit there and tell him, hey, man, you're the best guard out here on the floor. There's nobody out here that can touch you. So get out there and do what you do and watch what happens. And that kid will go out there, shoot jump shots, defend at a high level, but I wouldn't scream at him. I wouldn't do anything. If he did something wrong, I'll pull him off to the side when I pull him out, talk to him about what he did wrong, tell him to sit back, get a drink, think about it, let me know when you're ready to go back and fix it.
And that's how the coach.
It's all psychological to me when it comes to sports. Every kid is different. How do you get that kid's attention to do what you need him to do?
It took almost a year for Caleb and I to have a conversation. When I say a year, I'm talking about he would say hi, he would say hello, but he's not a talkative kid. He observed, do what you tell him to do. Then after I saw him, he started calling me old man, or start telling me, you know, and I said, wait a minute, this guy's opening up, he sounds good, you know what I'm saying? Then I know I got him, you know? So when Gregory was talking about the other personality of the other coach, it was as my way or no or the highway. This is how I want it done. And he's loud. So what happened is that Caleb would shrink in and go back in his shell. There's no growth. It's not just growth of the game. It's growth of his personality. He stopped the growth of the kid's personality. So the baseball is way down the road. But if you open him up and you bring him out and like give the rose that sunshine, you know. And so now he start enjoying. Hey, wait a minute. I like this person. Wait, this is the game I like. So now everything becomes something special. I work with all the kids I work with, like I said, I work with them differently. I approach things differently because it's part of the growth of sports. I had a coach that told me everybody gives you what they have. In other words, everybody's 100% is not the same. So don't expect everybody to give you the same. They're going to give you all that they have, and I believe that.
So would you guys say, as they say in teaching, a bad coach is worse than no coach? Would you say that?
A bad coach is worse. I don't think a bad coach is worse. Well, I would say a bad coach is worse than no coach, yes. I believe that.
Oh, okay.
Say it again?
No, I'm curious because we say that a bad teacher can damage a child more than no teacher at all. So I was wondering about that in coaching.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that because it boils down to this. Is if some people would say, you know what, I train every day. Oh, I train every day. But it's not the training that makes you. It's what you train. How are you training? So sometimes a kid, I would tell my kids, man, go on YouTube, go when I talk about hitting, when I talk about, go on YouTube, look at it. So when I see you again, you'll have an idea what I'm talking about. Then you can say, oh, that's what coach meant. Because I want them to know that what I'm saying to them is not foreign. Because almost all the coaching have the same kind of, good coaching have the same kind of idea. So now you know you can see what I'm talking about. So now when I talk about it, you can feel what coach was saying. I tell my players that all the time. Go on Facebook, go YouTube hitting, go YouTube
fielding. Go YouTube this. Go YouTube that. So when I meet you again, you'll have an idea what I'm talking about. But professional, not even professional coaching, good coaching brings the passion of the right, doing things the right way, not just do it because you think it's the right, it's the way to go. I always think, always say that, that baseball is the only sport that parents think that they can coach better than coach. I don't know if Perk have that same issue as a basketball player. So you're going to have to answer that question.
So I'll give you two quick examples. One, last year was my first year I did not head coach my oldest son. And I think he took three steps back because the coach didn't know what he was doing, and he thought he did, and then he didn't want advice. Like he's, and he took, so I had him in the facility one time, and I said, hey, I'll work all of the team out for free at my facility, the whole team. They came to the facility, and I worked them out. The parents were like, wow, this is what the kids need. The kids need workouts like this every now and then, you know. And then one parent said, did your team do this? I was like, this was just a normal practice for us. And they said, what? So the coach kind of got intimidated, thinking that I wanted to coach his team. And I pretty much told him, I have no desire to coach again. I don't want to coach. I want to sit back and be a parent and watch my child. Mm-hmm. So my son took two steps back from there.
I have to cut it short, man. We got 1 minute left. Man, this is a program. I wish we could do this again. I really do. I love it. I love today, man. Nice show, but we gotta go. I got like 30 seconds to tell everybody goodbye. Perkins, thanks for coming.
Coach.
I appreciate it. Mr. Gregory, thanks, man. I appreciate that the conversation you had opened up a lot of people's eyes on what to look for with their kids. Ms. Rhoda, thank you again for coming on, and Mr. Stevens, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you, Julian. We'll see you guys next Monday from 8 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. Thanks again for you guys for coming in and joining me, man. What a show. I think this is the best show I've had for a while. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
Thanks a lot.
Good night, everyone.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
At LASIK Plus, we know LASIK is a big decision, and every one of our patients is unique. That's why we customize your LASIK journey to you.
I only have a certain budget.
No problem. Right now at LASIK Plus, get $1,000 off LASIK when treated in May. That's $500 off per eye, plus guaranteed financing options. So visit MyLASIKOffer.com today to start your journey towards 2020 vision.
Must mention this promotion and be treated in May of 2024 to qualify. $1,000 off standard price of Wavelight procedure. $500 off for one eye. Cannot be combined with any other offers. Go to MyLASIKOffer.com for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.